Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is hard to believe already. Groundhog Days, 2 February 2026. I mean, we're already in the month of February, and hopefully and prayerfully this month will give us a little break in the weather here in the hills of West Virginia. It's been really cold and icy and all kinds of things. Maybe it'll turn around this month. Usually does. But anyway, welcome to the next program. We are so glad you're with us. I want to thank all of you that joined us this past weekend in Bible study and shared by email that you really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It is such a blessing and an honor and humbling that you all will take time to join us for things that we try to share to get the word out to people. But thank you so much for doing that. We're going to bring up our guests in a minute. But I do ask you, please, folks, for a special prayer request for a close family member. I won't get into all the details, but they're going through a struggle right now. They got themselves into it. I'm not blaming anybody but themselves. They're going through a struggle. They need help. They need divine strength, and they need a closer walk with Christ, to tell you the truth. So just please, a prayer request. The Lord knows who I mean, and if you just say that Pastor Butch is a family member, he knows what you're talking about. I do ask for your prayers for that, please, if you don't mind. Now, our guest tonight is Jamie Walton. Haven't had him on for a while. Jamie's a young guy. He's only 40-some years old. I mean, he's still wet behind the ears, if you know what I mean. Probably shaving at least twice a week now, though. But anyway, it's good to have him join us tonight. It's been a while since I had him on here. And then, by the way, this week we have a great lineup. Tomorrow night we have Charles Dennings. Now, we'll discuss more about that tomorrow night and who he is. But once you hear this man's wisdom coming out, he's a couple years older than me even. He's even older than Daryl PA, so he's really getting up there. The wisdom he has to share is unbelievable. And I hope you'll join us then for tomorrow night, and of course, Wednesday night also. But anyway, without further ado, let's come bring our guest up. Jamie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor Butch. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, it's good to have you, Jamie. It really is, and I mean that. I'm glad you're with us. And before we get in a lot of serious stuff here, I got to share this with the people, a listener tonight. I had a listener send me a piece of a wrapper from a Subway sandwich. He thought I'd get a kick out of it, and I did. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. It really explains, and exposes the mental aptitude of Americans today. Get it bad if you want to. I really don't care. But it's a piece of a wrapper up a sandwich. The big words across says fresh, which is, you expect that. But underneath the word fresh on the Subway wrapper, red big letters, it says, do not eat this wrapper. Now, I saw that and I laughed. Then I thought, oh, how sad. We have a country that's so ignorant they have to tell the people that you don't eat your wrap up a sandwich. I mean, and it may be better for you than a sandwich. It contains, it says, 30% recycled fiber. So anyway, but I just want to share that. That's how far gone we are as a nation. We have companies that protect themselves when somebody's stupid enough to eat the paper off the wrapper. That's where we are. But anyway, I want to share that so y'all might understand what I mean. It's sad. It's funny, but it's sad. And it's just that's what it is. But anyway, next week, Lord willing, I won't be on the air, but I have guest hosts filled in for me. You're not going to miss me, folks. Next week, I'm going to try to go to Pittsburgh, about four hours or so north of me to get some work done, some dental work. So you're not going to miss me that much, I'm sure, but I'll let y'all give you a heads up. The office will be open next week, as always. I'll be here this week, Lord willing. But next week, office will be open. Crystal will be here, take care of things. You won't miss me at all next week, I promise you. But I just want to give you a heads up on that. So you wonder, if you wonder where I am, not on radio, you'll know that I'm taking next week off to get some dental work done. I've been wanting done for a while. But now let's get to our guest, Jamie Walton. Jamie Walton, come on in. Tell the folks, if you would, for the new listeners, who you are, what you've done, and how you got involved in exposing all these things happening today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll give a quick Cliff Notes rundown, but I have a background as a sergeant in the Marine Corps Infantry. After that, I did the college thing and got a degree in history and law enforcement. Worked with the U.S. Marshals for a short stint, actually interned with them before they went on a hiring freeze. So then I ended up being a street police officer, a city cop, west of Chicago there for a short stint. And then switched over and got my paramedic license and became a firefighter paramedic. So I went from law enforcement to fire EMS and tech rescue and hazmat and all that good stuff, and did a little bit of tactical EMS along the way as well, too, before kind of, liquidating our reality and throwing off the lie of the American death paradigm, even the American churchianity, evangelifistian paradigm, and became missionaries in the Dominican Republic. So my wife and my three children and I moved to the Dominican Republic, and we lived down there for a couple years. And on returning from the mission field, the Lord burdened me to write a book. And so I wrote a book called Omega Dynamics, Equipping a Warrior Class of Christians for the Days Ahead. And since then, it's kind of spurred an international ministry and done some TV, done some expeditionary shows, like a History Channel type show, doing ancient antiquity-based stuff, along with also I currently pastor a church outside of Durango, Colorado, and we have a family camp that we run as well, too, here in the mountains. So kind of got a couple different things going all at the same time, but yeah, for the listeners out there, that's who's talking to you.
All right. So obviously, in your lifespan, you cover a lot of territory, from military to police force to pastor. I mean, you covered a lot of bases, no doubt about it, as a lot of us have that stay active. You truly have. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. I do want to share something with the listeners a minute, too, about something that Canada is doing right now as we speak. They're doing something that's hard to believe. But anyway, You when you were in the military, you obviously saw and heard some things, and when you were scoffed, you did too. But what got your eyes open? What was the first thing that got your attention that maybe things in America were not what they're supposed to be or not what they once were?
You know what it was more than anything? I speak to this consistently, and I'm still actively involved with a lot of different guys from different types of three-letter agencies and stuff like that, some intel, some different aspects of military personnel. I have a meeting actually in a couple weeks with a group of guys and some congressmen as well, too, different committees. I still am actively involved in that world as far as, just trying to shed light on different things from my different life experiences, but always through a biblical worldview. But for me, what really woke me up more than anything else was the church. It was the church. I had, you know, as a cop working third shift for a short stint on the streets, you know, I got into listening to Coast AM because that's the only thing that was on the radio in the middle of the night, you know, as you're patrolling your beat. So that kind of exposed me to different things. It was there where I stumbled in and heard Steve Quayle connecting things to a biblical worldview, which I'd never heard any of the other interviewees address. And that's what really lit a fire in me. But where I saw it come true was in the church, and in particularly the mission field. I saw the brand of Christianity that we promote and that we carry all over the face of the earth, and I was horrified. I was brokenhearted. I was indignant. Well, I was angry.
Explain that, Jamie. Explain that. What do you mean? Why were you horrified? Why were you angry?
Yeah, so for one, I'd come out of a seeker friendly church, and so that was enough exposure there to go like, this is disgusting, you know. And as a new believer, I'd come to know the Lord at 25 and just started devouring the Word, just love the Word, and it didn't take but about 3 months of walking with the Lord to go, this church is like so offensive to the Lord, you know. It's not even funny. It was in a place called Rock Island, Illinois, and. So then we ended up in the mission field about 8 years later after that. And down there, one of my many tasks, I had several different roles down there, but one of them was hosting short-term missions teams. So over the course of a couple years, each week I hosted a new missions team that was only down there for a week. So very short-term missions. So I had this sampling of every denomination, every size of church, every type of people group within a church, every denomination, if I didn't already say that. I had college kids. I had youth groups with youth leaders. I had pastoral retreats, women's groups, men's groups, you know, everything across the board. Every single denomination in America, I was responsible, and every week I had a new one. And over the course of a couple years, only one, I kid you not, Pastor Butch, one church and church leader even prayed in over 2 years, and only one, the same one, only one out of over 120 different church samplings, huge groups, small groups, every group across the American paradigm, only one of them used the name of Jesus the entire week they were there. And
what did he use? I got to know, who did he talk about? What did he use?
They just don't talk about anything. It was almost like a third world country Disneyland experience, so that they could take pictures and post them on Facebook and Instagram, their social media, to virtue signal about how godly they were. It was disgusting. I'd never seen anything like it. And then the mission organization that I was with itself is actually Crosswinds Youth out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it was the most apostate, antagonistic ministry to the gospel of Jesus Christ that I've ever seen. And actually, I'll make a long story shorter, but we ended up being asked to leave, so virtually fired from missionaries, because my wife and I were just so grieved by these different mission organizations, and we kept addressing it with the CEO of this pretty large mission organization out of Fort Wayne. And so what they did was fire us. And they actually said our zeal for the Lord offended all the other missionaries, and we were compromising their bottom line, which was drawing in money. They allowed pedophilia to continue in there. They allowed sex abuse that I addressed to continue in there. The director was caught in an affair with his Dominican secretary. They swept it under the rug and forced everybody to sign NDAs to never talk about it, so it wouldn't affect their money. They were starting to allow the LGBT stuff in there because it increased and opened the doors to their coffers. And then every single, again, remember, that's just a mission organization. But then I had this sample group. It was almost like the Lord sequestered me for a couple years to get this a sampling, so that whatever he would require me to speak, there would be authority behind it. It's not because I have a bone to pick or a soapbox or, you know, I'm a critical or a fault finder or anything else like that. I speak to the things I do and with the emphatic dogma and zeal that I do because I've experienced it. And that even goes so far into even the counter sex trafficking world, which I've come in and out of several times through a couple different organizations and how I have interacted and networked with other faith-based counter-sex trafficking organizations. And what we found was the vast majority of them are the ones trafficking. They're the ones undergirding the trafficking.
Repeat that again. What did you say just now? The faith-based groups are what?
They are de facto undergirding the trafficking. And I'll tell you how. I'll give you an example how. One organization in particular, which is associated with one of the biggest ministries in the nation, for legal reasons, I won't mention it. I know that's going to tick off a lot of listeners because they'll want to know who it is. But their mission was to empower women to use their bodies for sex exploitation, for upward mobility, to get power back from men in the name of Jesus. So they actually brought in business level, like entrepreneurial based people to teach the women in the sex trades how to maximize their bodies for profit, for upward mobility, so they could have a sense of femininity and matriarchal power, regain power over men. And it was being done in the name of Jesus Christ. So they were, and that's why I say, so they were de facto traffickers of these women. That was their modus operandi.
My goodness, I never heard this before. This is the first time I ever heard this. Well, of all the groups that you saw were say, Christian charity groups, what percentage of them were involved in things perhaps along these lines?
What percentage of them? 97%.
Whoa! No, that folks, this is, I'm not trying to slow him down here. This is too important to skip over. 97% of the ones come down that call themselves Christian organizations are involved in child trafficking or sex exploitation or whatever.
Let me clarify that. 97% of the sampling of the churches were 97% were 100% compromised, but not necessarily with regards to the really gross perversities of stuff. But the other organizations that we overlapped with in counter sex trafficking, in particular, counter child sex trafficking. Of those, it's hard to tell because it's a very niche community. And of the several organizations I have overlapped with and networked with, I'd say 50% of them are not what they are pretending to be. We'll put it that way.
So, what would we know? I know you're not going to name them because you can't. I understand that. But would we recognize the names of these if we heard them?
100%. 100% you would.
My goodness. So, see, people that support these organizations think there's something godly, maybe doing something destroying people's lives. I mean, that's pretty harsh because whenever you know this, it makes you want to quit supporting all them because you don't know who they are. But then you might quit supporting someone who's really trying to do well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm really quick because too, on another side note, I spent the majority of my life, given my prior professional background before going into ministry. And so I ended up in a lot of international disaster relief. So I was, you know, oftentimes a guy that would get inserted and extracted at particular times in different, you know, austere environments and non-permissive environments. And I would go in there with, you know, maybe me and one other guy with a sat phone, and we would evaluate the situation, start triaging patients and rendering care, or, you know, in more hostile environments. Sometimes we would go in there to do different things with regards to our professional backgrounds within the military. So we'll just call it like generalized contract work. And so obviously we would work all the time with faith-based disaster relief organizations, and it was the same thing in those as well too. And I'm very brazen about speaking out against these ones. Like one I'll name by name right now, because I'm not so fearful about the libel and the stuff that comes back on that. But it's Samaritan Purse. Franklin Graham's ministry is one of the most impure ministries I've ever seen out there, boots on the ground, interacting with their staff on the ground. I've never seen anything like it. And I actively try to warn people to never give a single cent to anything coming out of Samaritan's Purse on any level whatsoever. So they actually call it disaster capitalism. They have a name for it. And there's big, big bucks that are being passed to and fro. So this is, so when you look at the apostasy of Christendom, and this is why I speak the way I do, and it can be off-putting to a lot of people, the forcefulness with which I communicate things about the lateness of the hour, prophetically the lateness of the hour. And I always tell people, if you have seen and experienced the things I've seen and experienced, primary source, firsthand, not secondhand knowledge, but primary source, you would have no doubt how late the hour is. And going back to your original question, one of the reasons why I'm, so emblazoned by the Spirit of God to do what I do is because of what I've been exposed to. And I say the number one indicator of the lateness of the hour is not the earthquakes and the volcanism and the AI and the transhumanism and the cultural decay and the entropy and the perversities and whatnot. For me, the number one indicator of the lateness of the hour is the spirit of the age, the spirit of the professing church. And in fact, biblically, the vast majority of all scriptures with regards to the second coming of Jesus Christ and with regards to all the things that will precede it and occur just prior to it, you know, speaking of the tribulation period, it is all centered on the spirit of the church, the professing church. So it doesn't matter if it's 1 Peter 1 or 1 Peter 2 or 2 Peter 2 or 2 Peter 3 or 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and Book of Jude and 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4, the entirety of the Book of Revelation and on it goes. The number one indicator of the second coming of Jesus Christ is the spirit and the heart and the posture and the conduct of the claimants of Jesus Christ as being the Lord of their lives. That's the indicator of the lateness of the hour, not earthquakes in diverse places and famines and wars and rumors of wars. Those are objective, and sometimes, you know, we get fixated on them because they're more sensational. We get a little bit higher dopamine release when we start looking at all the doom scrolling of the daily news content. But the real high indicator, is the church, the professing church.
Wow. Well, now, we got so much to talk about tonight. Folks, take phone calls, as always. I know you got a question on your mind. Well, you mentioned Samaritan's Purse.
Yeah.
Is the corruption, you think, known clear to the top, right up to Franklin Graham?
100%. I mean, if you think about it, and then you have to go into the GAO, so the government accounting offices, which everything's documented very thoroughly within our government, as well as different FOIA requests, you know, Freedom of Information Act requests. But we're talking about a guy who has, I believe last I saw, is a $300 million a year salary, and not to mention all these other things, and also got massive kickbacks for giving public information campaigns to take the COVID vaccination. And so there's a lot of different overlaps with how these organizations work and the money flows that come through them. Now, don't quote me on this in particular with Samaritan's Purse, but with the majority of these mega ministry organizations, I believe that it's for every dollar that gets donated is 97 to 99 cents of it goes to paying salaries. Did everybody hear that? 97 to 99 cents of every dollar you donate pays salaries of the top tier individuals within those ministry organizations. And so what I saw, even boots on the ground, was, I mean, I was a part of assisting a landing craft that had 70,000 tons. Is that right? Yeah, 70,000 tons of disaster relief supplies in a landing craft, like a World War II ship, you know, where the nose on the ship would drop on the beach. And I was responsible for going out there and making liaison with these guys during a Hurricane Matthew in Haiti and providing security so that the Haitians wouldn't sink the ship and attack and sink the ship. And there was not one Samaritan's Purse representative there whatsoever. It was their ship. And so what the captain said was, he goes, oh, this is basically, this is what we do, speaking for Samaritan's Purse. He said, push it all into the ocean. It doesn't matter. I'm talking, it had to have been no less than $8 million worth of emergency disaster supplies. And I watched them push it into the ocean because they'd already gotten the money that they needed for it. They did not care about distribution. There was nobody to distribute it. Not one person, single person, boots on the ground. It was a way of cleaning money. And I watched it. I mean, I was there. I was disgustingly horrified. And so, you know, I don't know what else they do. All I can speak of is from what I've seen. You know, I mean, I know we do the shoebox thing and we do the whatever thing. We do it, you know, like most churches, there's actually really only about, you know, it's kind of like a monopoly on Christian ministry and international missions. There really is a monopoly on it, just like within the corporate sector, because at the end of the day, that is what they're operating, is a corporate entity, a for-profit corporate entity. Now, I don't know about you, Pastor Butch, but I got to imagine in your multi-decades of ministry that you've never taken a $300 million a year salary. I'm just guessing that you've never taken that kind of salary. So
I haven't quite got that high on totem pole. But I mean, I'm sitting listening to this and thinking now, of the percentage of Samaritan Purse type organizations, how many of them you think are taking kickbacks or doing this for just totally for money? Half of them?
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I've worked with some that are unbelievably legit. You know, one of them that's my favorite one and is just so pure in heart, and everything they do is Omaha Rapid Response, ORR they go by, and obviously based out of Omaha, Nebraska, and they are an amazingly radiant, godly, God-fearing disaster relief organization that goes all over the face of the earth, and they have 1/10,000th of the budget that a Samaritan's Purse does. You know, so the ones that are out there that are pure, you're probably not going to hear their names because they don't have these mega platforms with these mega capital campaigns and these, you know, hundreds of millions of dollar a year budgets. They're out there doing it by the leading and the unction of the Holy Spirit, and they do everything as unto the Lord in the fear of the Lord. Even the way they manage their finances, they do it with integrity before a holy God to whom they're going to be held accountable. And so, you know, I couldn't say overall how many of them, you know, like a percentage of which ones are maybe more compromised or not. But I know that it's the majority. I'll put it that way. It's the majority, but I couldn't put a percentage on it.
My goodness. That is so disheartening. I mean, so disheartening. Well, you know, one that I've watched for a long time. The folks, we haven't got into a lot of things that we won't discuss, but how about VOM, Voice of the Martyr? Are they pretty straight?
As far as I know, yes. Uh-huh. Voice of the Martyr, okay, yeah. They actively put boots on the ground to effect change for the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. So yeah, Voice of the Martyrs, you know, I always say brush shoulders. You know, you overlap when you're out there in these different mission fields and mission organizations. Voice of the Martyrs was very legit. YWAM had the YWAM individuals I worked with were legit. And, okay.
We're going to break. Yep. Folks, back to break with your phone call, 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. What sad news up here about this.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. Superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E. T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Folks, we are back here with Jamie Walton, and what a revealing broadcast this has been. I don't know how we'd all know about who to support and who not support. I really don't know. I wish I had more answers than that. You heard about Samaritan's Purse. That should be off your list altogether, period. I do support Voice of the Martyrs. I think it's a good organization with what I can a month. If I don't support many of them because I don't know them well enough to do it. But now I understand that my reservations, folks, about supporting these ministries were not in vain. It wasn't something I was just walking in fear about. Obviously, at least half of them, if not more, corrupt and use the money or waste your money in so many different ways. When they dump a whole boatload of goods off because that's something that's been paid to be delivered and they don't want to fool with it. There's something desperately wrong with that. Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, let me just, because I don't want to bash, you know, it's all I can speak of is what I've experienced firsthand, you know, and so I don't know, maybe that was a one-off experience. I don't know. You know, maybe what I experienced in the Dominican Republic with that mission organization head undergirding the trafficking, maybe that's a one-off. I don't know. But, you know, it's like there's enough, we call it, you know, in law enforcement, and in the judicial world, you know, the preponderance of the evidence or the totality of the circumstances. So when we look at the preponderance of the evidence, there is a, there is a rot that is ubiquitous across Western Christendom. And again, one of the other places that we see it the most is within the mission field. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever had the luxury of going to Africa or being in intimate relationships with our African brothers and sisters. But again, rubbing shoulders with a lot of these different pastors, even internationally, is they are all duplicating what they have been taught to do. And by and large, I would say this is 80%. Okay. I try to give accurate percentages. 80% of the pastors or ministry heads that I've met from across the world, they have all been indoctrinated by NAR and by the church growth model, NAR being the New Apostolic Reformation. So that's the Bethel Hillsong ilk, which is a repackaging of all things New Age and cultic practitioners. That's what they do. They do destiny card reading, angel card reading, tarot card reading, the channeling. They do grave soaking. All this is public information. There's nothing sensational, hyperbolic, or conspiratorial about this. It just is what it is. That's what they do. And then they combine it with a counterfeit charismatic type of name it, claim it, blab it, grab it overlay with a church growth model, which is that you need to do satellite campuses, capital campaigns, money, 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 money. And so the pastors that I've ran into, in particular, Africa seems to be a place that's highly exploited. Europe, there really is no church in Europe. It's pretty much dead. You know, across Eurasia, it's pretty much dead. Actually, the Middle East, the church is alive and unbelievably well. Be praying for our Iranian, our Persian brothers and sisters, and our Iraqi brothers and sisters, our Kurdish brothers and sisters. I know a lot of them. Even over into China and North Korea, the church is radiant as all get out. But for some reason, they have used the African continent as a place to do a mass wealth suck and exploitation of the ministering class of people within Africa. And so they don't know any better. They're going, they mission team after mission team after mission team after mission team has been bombarding them for the last 40 years, telling them, if you really want to be effective for the kingdom, if you really want to be effective for the gospel, this is what you do. And in every case, I've seen them wholesale exploiting their own flocks based on the teaching and training tools from the pastoral retreats that people from the Bethel Hillsong churches and all these other churches and church growth model and emerging church and all that, and even the woke progressive churches send teams over there to do these training retreats and pastoral retreats. And so the African in particular, our African and Central and South American pastors and ministers are duplicating exactly what they were taught to do. And they don't even know any better. I mean, they should. They have the word, right? Like, they have the word and they have the Holy Spirit too. But it's kind of the same thing from the garden onward. It's an exploitation of somebody's zeal to want to honor the Lord. That's what Lucifer did, or the Nakash. It wasn't Lucifer, actually. Sorry. It was a seraphim, not a cherub. In the garden, exploited Eve's zeal to want to know God more and to want to be in higher communion with God. The Pharisees, their zeal to want to honor God was exploited by the powers of darkness and by their own carnal desires to want to honor the Lord, to where they made the law and they made their control mechanisms actually antagonistic to the gospel. Then you have the emerging church growth model. And their zeal has been exploited by the powers of darkness to, quote unquote, have influence in their communities. So what they've done is they've made the gospel a mile wide and an inch deep and utterly powerless and ineffectual and vain and fruitless, because they really want to honor the Lord, and they want everybody to feel super duper special. They want everybody to feel loved, and they want to have an impact on their community. But in their zeal to honor the Lord, it has been exploited by the culture, by the flesh, and by the devil, and actually made them enemies of God, at enmity, as the Bible says, with God. So it's the same thing, too, even with these different ministers that I've encountered globally. is their zeal to want to honor the Lord has been exploited by the carnal Christians coming out of the United States of America. So now that gets into Revelation 18 and the destruction of Mystery Babylon, and all the aspects of the haunt and hideout for every fallen unclean spirit who's made the whole world drunk with their immoralities, made the whole world drunk with it, and even it goes so far as to say that, you know, the posture of Mystery Babylon is affluence, it's wealth, it's influence, it's ability to project power all over the face of the world. It's hyper spiritual in its nature, which in the United States of America, but it's all compromised, and they actually undergird the trafficking of the souls of men. That's one of the very particular attributes of Mystery Babylon that kind of sets it apart from some of the other different scholarly takes on it, on who Mystery Babylon is in Jeremiah 50:51 or Revelation 18 and elsewhere, where it addresses the daughter of Babylon in both Ezekiel and in Isaiah as well, too. So you kind of can see how all these things start coming into play to give us an understanding of the lateness of the hour. And notice what the chief attribute of the Laodicean church is faulty self-actualization. They say they're wealthy and in need of nothing. They are haughty, arrogant, high-minded. They are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure rather than God. They have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, because the power is the spirit of living God. They're always learning, never able to come to an understanding of the truth. They will tolerate everything except for sound doctrine, and they will make sure the way of truth, which is Jesus Christ himself, comes into disrepute. They are scoffers. They are mockers. It says they devote themselves to doctrines of demons. They cling to destructive heresies, denying the very God who bought them. So again, when you think about it, the majority of the scriptures regarding your ability to discern the lateness of the hour is centered around the spirit, the heart, and the posture and the conduct of the professing church.
Wow, that is powerful statement, and folks, you tell him the truth. I know he is. It's hard to accept. It's hard to believe. We have been as a people, totally shut down spiritually because of ignorance of ourselves and our own churches in America today are compromised, to say the least. Not all of them, but a bunch of them, and now we're shipping overseas again. It's just unthinkably evil. Before I go to the phone lines, tell folks how they can learn more about you and what you do.
Yeah, sure. They can get a hold of me through omegadynamics.org. That's omegadynamics.org. Or they can follow me on YouTube. That's where sermons and interviews and all that kind of good stuff are posted regularly, is on my YouTube channel under Jamie Walden. And that's Walden. And also, the book Omega Dynamics, which I never plug the book, so this isn't a plug, but it's, if you're interested in it, it is available on Amazon, and it's Omega Dynamics, Equipping a Warrior Class of Christians for the Days Ahead. And I'm really big on our Omega Dynamics. So Omega, obviously the end of all things, and our dynamism. So it's the powerful and effectual actions of the redeemed of the Lord at the end of all things. As we're told in Daniel 11:32, that those who know their God will be strong and they'll go forth and do exploits, or as it's rendered, daring feats of valor. You know, we have a promise in Daniel 12 that it'll be the time the likes of which never has been and never will be again, but those who are wise in the Lord will turn many back to righteousness. And they'll shine like bright stars in the vast expanse of the heavens, from everlasting to everlasting. You know, we're also told in Revelation 12:11 that there are going to be those enumerated within the ranks that overcome the Antichrist and the beast system and all this junk breaking out on the face of the earth by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the fact that they do not love their own lives so much as they shrink back from death. So that's why it's like, you know, I kind of go down the, you know, cling to really what the Spirit said through John, you know, on Patmos, when he said, those with ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Those with ears to hear. And so the Lord has a good mission for his people to magnify his son, Jesus Christ. That's all it's ever been about, is the magnification of Jesus. And he's got a very, very awesome, good mission set for those who have counted the cost and they regard it as nothing compared to the eternal glory that's going to be revealed. You know, they've counted the cost and they're all in. And, you know, they don't fix their eyes on what is seen, but what is unseen, you know. And they know that everything in this life is light and momentary afflictions. Even the persecution that's going to come against the faithful believers in Jesus Christ. In fact, I think the greatest civil war, everybody's worried about civil war in the U.S. I think the greatest civil war that's about ready to break out over the face of the entire earth and every nation, tribe, and tongue is the war of the apostate claimants of monotheism or Christianity in particular against the faithful believers in Jesus Christ. I think going to be the greatest. Yeah. And we're told that biblically. It says they will put you to death and believe that's they're right. doing God's work. So a guy like me who's speaking out against these mega organizations or these mega denominations or these mega movements within Christendom, I'm going to be a HVT, a high value target for these people. That because it threatens their kingdom, and their kingdom is this world.
That's why the so-called religious leaders of the day in Christ's time had crucified. He tore down their playhouse. Let's take a phone call from right here in West Virginia. Let's talk to Chance. Chance, come on in, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch. Hello. Jamie. Jamie, you're a breath of fresh air. You know, with all the virtual. The virtue signaling going on in the Christian community, it sickens me. This is why I keep my faith. I have a strong faith, personal and private. I can give you so many examples, and you bore them out. You proved me right. I'll give you one example. There used to be a man. He passed away a couple of months ago. He had a so-called Christian hour on this network one day a week. And I got to talking to him on the phone, and this is what, here's the rub. This is what came out of his mouth, and this is what made me really doubt this guy. Now, he seemed like a nice enough guy. I'm not going to mention his name, but I don't think he was a Christian. He just played the role. Number one, he recommended I send my money to Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse. That was number one. Number two, he told me I should listen to Jimmy Swaggart. Number three, he said Trump was the best thing since sliced bread. Now, all these three things I said to myself, oh, I doubt if this man, he's playing the role of a Christian, but I doubt if he's a Christian, because if he had the Spirit of Christ in him, he would see through all of those three things I just mentioned if he was discerning. See, Jamie, I'm to the point where I don't care how pious or self-righteous somebody sounds anymore. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. Because if they can't discern these things, this is where the rubber meets the road to be a true Christian. If they can't discern these things in my book, and I feel bad talking about this guy because he passed away, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, I guess. But it proved to me, oh no, this man is not a true Christian. He's playing the role. Your comments, Jamie?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. It's, you know, discernment is only by the Spirit of Living God. You know, it says we speak in spiritual truths with spiritual words. You know, the man without the Spirit can't discern it. It's foolishness to him. You know, and actually, I just preached on Sunday. I haven't got it posted yet, but specifically on that, on give me the Spirit or give me death. Because apart from walking by the Spirit of Living God and having discernment by the Spirit, all of us are doomed, and not one of us is going to even survive this strong delusion and the great deception and the great falling away and the greatest apostasia, the official revolt or defection from a religious dogma you once held to be true. We are amid the greatest apostasy since Christ's ascension and reoccupation of the right hand of the Father, and it's reaching a great crescendo, and it is the fulfillment of everything that Christ began to warn about even and answer the apostles as well too, of mark this, or above all, you must understand this, you must understand this. And every single one of the times they gave that qualifier, telling us what they were going to next was of the most extreme importance of anything they ever taught. Every single time an epistle or an apostle says that, the next line was about the deception that is going to enter Christendom. Every single time.
Now, Jamie, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question, Jamie? How is it that a man like me who keeps his faith personal and private, I don't believe in advertising, I keep it personal and private, I have a strong faith and I pray. Why is it that a man like me can see these things and I would let my big toe cross the threshold of a 501c3 church? Okay? Why is it that I can see this and these other people who call themselves Christians can't?
I'll tell you the answer. The answer is very simple. It's fear. It's rightly placed fear, and it's a fear of the Lord. It says, to those who fear the Lord, he'll reveal the depths of the covenant to them. To those who fear the Lord, their children will be mighty in the land. You know, to those who fear the Lord, you know, they'll have a strong refuge. To those who fear the Lord, everything is based out of the fear of the Lord. So, you know, as a tactician, if I were to employ a PSYOP, a psychological hybrid warfare, an asymmetrical warfare tactic against the church, what I would do is I would raise up an entire new movement about 80 years ago to 100 years ago through a singular high-level evangelistic voice, and I would tell everybody not to fear God because God is love. And therefore, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and don't worry about this God of justice. By the way, that is exactly what they were saying in Malachi 2 and 3 before God went silent and he pivoted toward, which was always the plan, right? The definite foreknowledge of God. And he pivoted towards the Gentiles from the Jews, was because they were saying, prophesy illusions, tell us pleasant things, get off the way, stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. That's in Jeremiah. And then in Malachi, they were saying, everybody who does evil is good in the eyes of the Lord, and don't worry about a God of justice. That is hyper grace. So the strategic tactic is the removal of the fear of the Lord. You remove that, you get it all. You get it all, which is why there's very few people. I don't want to sound like all arrogant-y and haughty and whatever, but there's few people that want the Lord for who he is. They don't want his face, they want his hand. I always say that. Right. That's a huge distinction. Is very few people want the Lord for who he is. It's like the Pharisees. They didn't want God for who he was, which is why they rejected God's Messiah, Jesus. They wanted God for how they could be empowered, for how they could be enriched, for how they could be haughty, for how they could have a particular social standing, for how it would help them network in the business world, which is exactly what the Gospel Coalition and the Southern Baptist Convention do to this very day. It's a good old boy club that's meant for cultural networking and personal private advancement and exploitation.
Right. By the way, Chance, thanks for the call, Chance.
God bless you now, Jamie.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Chance.
Thank you.
Good call. Good point. Okay, we're running out of time. It's going to be going very quickly. Folks, you want to call, you better hurry. 717-300-1698. Jamie has taken the time tonight to share from his heart the knowledge he knows from firsthand experience what's happening in this country and the deception, the total deception that we've all seen come to pass. And I'm saying this politely, but on our watch, so to speak. That's the sad part.
Yeah, it is. You know, Pastor Butch, when you look at like the prayers of Nehemiah or Ezra or Daniel, their prayers, I read them regularly, and they were repenting for themselves because yes. they knew that they were a part of the problem. They repented yes. for their fathers, then for the people, and then for themselves, because they all acknowledge we all have skin in the game. We have skin in the game in this apostasy. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. And it's like only by the grace of God and by the love of God and the kindness of God through his Spirit to call us up out of that and to wash us clean in the blood of the Lamb so that we can move out with honor, courage, and commitment and fulfill this amazing commission and calling he's put on us as his followers,
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Very, very well put. And I mean, the phone lines are quiet. I'm kind of shocked. I thought it'd be filling up a lot, but now what you exposed to people, but apparently they're doing something else right now, but folks, the lines are open. But Jimmy, once again, tell the folks how they can get your information one more time. They will take one more phone call. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. They can get a hold of me at omegadynamics.org, omegadynamics.org, or they can also follow me on YouTube just under Jamie Walden. That's Walden, and they can find sermons and interviews there as well.
Okay. All right, let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, it's me.
Yes, ma'am.
You were talking about Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham. I need to know, did Billy Graham do this as well?
Did you ask if Billy Graham is a part of that as well?
Yes.
It's a very, very touchy subject, so I usually don't broach it because people are unfortunately too emotionally reactionary about it. But there's a lot of high index of suspicion that Billy Graham was not who we think of him to be, 33-degree Freemason, served under five different presidents, and at the end of his life spoke very publicly that Jesus Christ is not the only way to God, that you can go through all kinds of different paths because God is love. And that's who I was talking about over 100 years ago. You insert in a powerful evangelist to reduce the gospel to a soundbite of hyper-grace. That's actually who I was referencing. And now, does that mean that God didn't work through Billy Graham? Absolutely not. I know amazingly powerful, radiant, God-fearing brothers and sisters that have been saved because of a Billy Graham revival or seeing that on a TV in a hotel room when they were, you know, high on drugs or whatever. And so I say God will always get his glory in spite of us. In spite of man, God will always get his glory, and he will always accomplish his will, no
Amen.
Matter how bad we mess it up.
Jan, anything else you want to say very quickly? You got about a minute left.
I'm just thinking that all the money that these guys get, and money is the root of all evil, I say.
The love of it is.
I'm wondering if the money isn't the reason that they allow all this greed.
Yeah, it's always money because money equates to power and access. So money's a tool. And that's why it's the love of money, not money itself, but the love of it is the root of all evil. That's a big word. Mm-hmm. That is a very declarative statement. All evil is rooted in money because of what it gives you access to.
Because they're more interested in the money than they are in God and
all
the
right.
Word.
I hate to jump, Jim. We're in that time, but thanks for the call, sweetheart. Appreciate it. Folks, we're down with the last, maybe the last minute or less. Go ahead and tell us again, Jamie, how I can contact you one more time.
Yeah, they can get hold of me at omegadynamics.org, or they can find me on YouTube just under Jamie Walden. And just for the listeners, too, you know, I know we kind of went hot and heavy on kind of some harder topics tonight, you know, and I just want people to know that although I speak to those things, we don't want bitterness. We don't want anger. We don't want malice.
No.
Yeah, it's just, but we do want to walk in the light and walk in the truth.
Learn from it.
Yep.
God bless you, Jamie.
Absolutely.
Thanks for with us. Thanks so much. Folks, we love you. By grace, God, we'll see you tomorrow night with another, I think, fantastic program. Have a great night.
This is war. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men. Oh,
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.